Hello everyone, this is Tom Uren and I'm here with the Gruck for another Between Two Nerds discussion. G'day Gruck.
How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good. Today's Between Two Nerds is brought to you by Red Canary, the managed detection and response company. I'd also like to thank the Hewlett Foundation's Cyber Initiative for their support. So today, Gruck, I wrote this piece about pig butchering.
Is it?
Which is the scam run out of Southeast Asia where, you know, you get a random message from someone, usually pretty and female. For people who fall for the scam, that leads to an ongoing conversation. They build trust. They get you to invest and then invest more and more and more and more. It's a long-term scam. And it turns out that it's a pretty terrible story in that not only are the amounts stolen are huge,
mm-hmm.
but also it turns out that the people involved are coerced there. They're forced to work in these scamming farms.
Right.
And so that's terrible. One of the things I saw afterwards, there's a YouTube video of a guy who unravels scams, I guess. That's the nature of his channel. And he'd gotten one of these messages.
Right.
He'd interacted with the scammer. He'd eventually got him to just reveal that he was a bloke called Win for the purposes of the video. And he sort of dived into how they do the scam.
How the sausage is made.
Yeah.
So to speak.
And one of the things that I thought was interesting was that they use a combination of Google Translate and ChatGPT for some, at least some of the scams. So a lot of the scams are focused on other Southeast Asian countries because the people they bring there speak those languages.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously easier to scam people if you speak the language. But there's also a lot of it when it's targeted at English-speaking people. It's, you know, you just pretend to be a pretty Chinese lady,
right.
or whatever.
English is my second language. We
yeah,
love
yeah.
you.
So I thought we could talk about the kind of AI-related aspects of this kind of scam. So I think it's correct to say that people have different takes on how much AI technologies will change cybersecurity.
Right.
So originally, I kind of thought that it's just going to make some things incrementally better for attackers.
Right.
Right. You know, maybe you can write better phishing emails.
Right, right. The Grammarly for, you know, ransomware commands or...
Yeah. And then more recently, in a sponsored interview, I spoke to Dan Guido from Trailer Bits.
Mm-hmm.
And his take was that it can get really good at writing, like, really good phishing emails targeted at individual Ooh. People, as long as ChatGPT or whatever knows who that person is. So he said there's mm-hmm. enough content from him online that it'll produce an endless stream of emails targeted at Dan Guido that are actually really good.
Right.
In the particular video about mm-hmm. pig butchering, they were using a combination of Google Translate and ChatGPT. And ChatGPT would kind of give them enough information that they could pretend to be in a particular place. You know, so...
Local flavor, yeah. Atmospherics.
Yeah, that's right.
What are Chinese restaurants in Houston that I like to go to?
Yeah, that kind of thing. Yeah, yeah. That's something that could back up whatever
yeah.
claim they were making.
Right, right.
And that seemed to me to be like, okay, that's kind of good. It means that you can, you know, make your scam a little bit better. Presumably these people, their English is not really good, but they've got some.
Uh-huh.
I don't think you're going to run an effective scam entirely through Google Translate, but it could help you.
Yeah, so I actually, this is a total aside, but I got to tell a story. I got a pig butchering phone call from a call center, but they were speaking in Thai. And the thing is, like, I speak Thai, but I don't speak the sort of professional level, complicated Thai for like setting up a bank account, for example, right? I don't know the words for like the different officers in like the police or in the bank or whatever. So I get this phone call and the guy's saying like, hi, I'm calling from the bank. And I'm like, okay. And so he goes, I'm calling from the bank, blah, 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 your account. I was like, okay. And so he sort of just keeps going. And then after a while, I realize like I've sort of okayed a bit too much and I need to I need to pause a bit. So I just go, I'm sorry, I don't understand. So he tries again.
Do you have an accent or was it?
No, I don't actually.
You sound like a native, but you respond like an idiot.
I speak like an adult with the intellect of a 5-year-old. Right. So this guy is going like, you know, blah 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 bank blah 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 blah, and I go, okay. And he's like, something something something. Okay, something something things. I don't understand. And eventually he gets so angry he yells at me and hangs up. And I realize that like this poor guy must have spent, you know, the last 15 minutes on the phone thinking his scam is going really well. If he can just convince the 6-year-old to somehow give over a credit card number,
sure,
or whatever.
He just wasn't from the bank?
No, he couldn't have been because he used the wrong name. I have a name that I use in Thailand and I have a name that's on my bank account.
Right.
And they're different.
Right.
Right. And so the bank doesn't know. Like they call me by my government name.
Right.
So this guy called me up and I didn't even twig at first. Right? This was only as I was going on. I was like, yeah, of course it's me. Hello. Hello, blah, blah, blah. Yes. Okay.
Well, so that strategy is the perfect strategy to apply from a defender's point of view. When like right. You get those kind of scam calls. So I've got a friend who will essentially do the same thing, except deliberately. When he gets the right. The Microsoft tech support scam calls.
Right, right, right.
And just string them out. They get extremely frustrated and just give up eventually.
Yeah, so I think it's interesting how AI is used with these pig butchering things as a sort of like this atmospheric, so this like augmentation, this flavor thing to sort of help them contextualize.
Yeah, I think it's to lend authenticity. Right, to try and bolster whatever false claims you're making.
Right.
I mean, the other interesting thing I've read about these scams is that they build their scripts over time so that they have a plan and I guess they empirically test what works and try different things.
This is like we've always talked about with attackers is they've got this true positive signal of what works.
Yep.
So even in this case, one of the things I wanted to say on helping them with their emails is that people are actually very generous in how they read things that get sent to them. They sort of assume good intent and they will mentally fix up the language, right? It's the same thing as long as it's not too bad.
Right.
One of the better phishing emails I've ever seen. And even this, right, this is a really good one, but it's got this line in here which should have been like a huge red flag, but it isn't. It says, we need your assistance in evaluating several projects for Adam Smith Prize.
Right.
If you notice, it's missing an article. It should be the Adam Smith Prize.
Yes.
Right. This is a very good email, but that like one little thing should have been a red flag of like, this is a bit out of the blue. Sort of never heard about this thing. Grammar error that someone who supposedly teaches at Cambridge University would never make. But not one person who wrote about this thing pointed out the error.
Right.
Right. None of them noticed that. I only noticed it now when I was rereading it. The first time I'd gone through, or like the first few times, I just completely missed it.
Right.
So I don't think that that's going to move the needle very much for phishing.
Just getting grammar right is...
Yeah, getting better written emails. I don't think that that's necessarily the hard part that needs to be solved. Mm-hmm. It's such an easy thing to solve anyway. If I'm defending, that's not the thing that worries me.
Right, right.
That they'll fix their grammar.
You're not worried that they'll just employ a native English speaker to proofread their emails. Oh my God.
Right. So they'll start using, you know, Google Docs to draft their stuff beforehand.
Yes.
Right. So yeah, I'm not worried about that. What I think is much more interesting though is sort of the way that the threats that people come up with for AI are always limited to these incremental changes.
Mm-hmm.
To use that sort of like that Ford whatever thing, it's like people look at it and they're like, you know what we need to worry about is if people can come up with a better buggy whip.
Yep.
Right? You know, like what if we use AI and we can add like one more horse to the carriage, right? And it, missing these transformative opportunities that exist, what I would be more worried about is these sort of detailed targeting things, right? Because there's just like there's so much data available, right? You know, you've got LinkedIn, you've got all these password dumps. Contextually, those get very interesting as well, right? For example, the Ashley Madison leaks. So Ashley Madison was the adultery and affairs website that got hacked. And then when their user lists got published, it led to all sorts of real world problems for people.
Given that it's a cheating site.
Right.
That's I mean, you know, there's reasons some people might dislike that.
Right. It's contextual that's relevant, right? So if your username and password is on a list, I mean, that's not great. But if it's on a list of people having affairs.
Right. Yes.
That's worse.
Yes, definitely. Right?
Similarly, I think that there's been leaks of darknet marketplace transactions and things like that. There would probably be some sort of buyers of drugs list that you could make. All of these things that people do not necessarily want to have associated with their real identity to their boss, or their spouse, or whomever. And so it seems to me that AI would be particularly useful at doing that sort of data analysis, and that you're just doing pattern matching on a sort of very, very big scale of big data sets. I would want to build like dossiers for targets from LinkedIn data. You know, like show me all the CFOs at companies making, you know, 10 million revenue per year with fewer than 20 employees, but, you know, no IT staff.
So I guess what you're really suggesting is like the individual scam equivalent of big game hunting for ransomware, where with ransomware, they look at the size of the company. I'm not sure if they target big companies or they just get access and then, you know, focus on big companies afterwards.
Like there's opportunistic stuff, which absolutely exists. But for the guys that do the phishing, the way that they will go about it, usually, or at least some of them, is that they will do company research.
Right, yeah, yeah, right? Yeah.
So they will go out and they will build up a list of companies and people, and then they'll, my understanding is that they will pick a vertical, right? Shoe stores, right? Individual shoe stores, or, you know, lawyers. These things where it's, you're not looking at like a tiny company that has no money, and you're not looking at a huge company that has a security department. You're trying to sort of find something in between. And then you email everyone with essentially the same email because they're all selling shoes, or they're all lawyers, or they're all something. So you can have a sort of a template that you can just sort of minorly adjust. You can send it out to these thousands and thousands of people, and then you wait for what comes back. So it seems to be like that's something that could be automated, because that's going to be a pain point. Like that's just, it's annoying to have to do that sort of legwork.
Right. The other thing I was thinking of was targeted BEC.
Right.
They'll really do their homework. They figure out who the person is, their kind of network of friends and relatives. They'll get their email signature block, know who to email. That, so as basically as much as they could about a particularly important person within a big company, and then construct an email like specifically targeted for that person. I guess your thinking is that some of these technologies could make that much easier.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of opportunity there. I think one of the other things would be if you're doing opportunistic stuff, that as soon as you get any sort of hits at all, like once you've gained access, you want to operate as fast as possible, because you want to reduce the amount of time available for detection and remediation on the other end. So I think one of the things that would be probably useful there would be an automated system of doing company research, right? So you could, oh, I've gained access to this VPN. It seems to be connected to this. Plug it into my who are they agent, and it will go away and it will come back and tell me, okay, you have access to a company that does this thing, that has this much money, this much revenue, number of employees, you know, offices in these places, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, you'll be able to do sort of post hoc investigations. So once you've gained access, you can find out where you've accessed. That would be a thing that AI could do, because then you could figure out, do I keep pursuing this? Do I drop it? And if I do pursue it, you know, sort of like, what am I looking at revenue-wise?
Yeah, I wonder if the economics of cybercrime right now encourage initial access brokers to do that work.
Yes. That's how they sell it, right? When you market it, you say, you know, for this much money, I can give access to the something device at a company making between 5 and 15 million a year with 10 to 30 employees in the Australian.
Yeah, so that makes me think that AI won't be a game changer there, because there's already a sort of strata of the criminal ecosystem doing that.
It will make it easier for them to do it.
Right.
But you're right. I think it's sort of incremental. I think the targeting is, it's again, the thing that would make it better. I think there's other things as well. The coercion phase, right? So, you know, we've seen ransomware itself can be stopped with backups, provided they work, of course. You don't have to pay if you can do backups. And so they try and do this coercion where they're like, we will leak your data. And that's a very scary prospect to a lot of people. But the reality is that no one is going to look through 100 gigabytes of unsorted random garbage data from some random company to try and find a scary thing that they can publish about you. Like, that's not a, like, no one has time for that.
Yep.
Right? The odds are you can't even find stuff on your own network. You know, no one else is going to go looking for it. But I wonder if AI is a thing that can automate that process to find interesting emails, suspicious financial transactions, maybe pay disparities that would cause problems if your employees knew about them.
Right, right, right.
You know, why is he getting 50% more for the exact same job?
Right. This seems to me to be almost the same problem as the one you were describing earlier, where from the outside, you want to find data that possibly gives you leverage on people. And I guess this is the opposite. You want to find from the inside, what's the data which will give me leverage on people or companies or whatever.
Right. Yeah, yeah. To me, those seem like rich veins of utility to mine for AI. Much more so than, like, how can we replace Stack Overflow?
Yeah, so I was skeptical about the Stack Overflow thing. And then increasingly I hear from just random people that they were skeptical. Then all of a sudden they're using, you know, ChatGPT or Copilot or whatever all the time.
Right. I understand the traffic to Stack Overflow is actually, I don't know if it's gone off a cliff, but it's certainly decreased.
Right, yep.
Which, by the way, I think is poisoning the well for the future. Right? Because what are you, like, what are you going to mine if all of the...
Someone got in touch with me after one of these podcasts where my recollection anyway is that I said that I think there's opportunity in having training AI to help people code more securely. And I think there is. If you're training the AI to do that, it will probably do that. She said she came across research that said that using AI right now helped people think that they were being more secure, but not actually be more secure. And I 100% believe that.
Right.
I think those two things are not actually mutually exclusive.
Right.
That it could help people be more secure if it's trained to do that.
Right. Well, I think one of the things to point out there is that a lot of the time the stuff that's insecure is writing the tedious boilerplate error checking everywhere sort of stuff, which is the thing that AI can automate so well, right? Because it's very templatey.
Right, right.
It's very easy
to
do. And
it'll probably be right.
Yeah, I mean, it's... It won't be obviously wrong. I still think that one of the problems with the way that people think about, like, how is AI going to change offensive cyber, is that we don't think as offensive cyber people. We think as, like, what if they get a better buggy whip? It's all these, you know, like, what's a thing that I would find useful if I were doing it, hypothetically, because I don't actually have experience doing it. So I would probably think that email writing would be very useful. So I bet that that's a thing that's going to really shift the needle for them. And I strongly suspect that from the inside, there's things that are very frustrating that are not necessarily like writing emails or writing, you know, malware. I think it's probably things on research, because that's, you know, in a foreign language and it has a lot of different sources and can get quite tedious, and portfolio management, right? So when you've got 100 victims, that's quite hard to manage. If you've got 10, you know, like that's pen and paper,
right?
Basically, right? You can keep track of that fairly easily. But when you've got 100, then it's like, well, at what stage are we with each of these? You know, what's the progress? Who's working on it? You know, what were their last steps and what are their next steps? What are there any blockers that I need to address? All of these things. And I don't think AI fixes that is the thing. Like I think, you know, SAP or, you know, some sort of enterprise software product addresses that sort of thing. And I don't see SAP coming out with ransomware edition.
Yeah, I was thinking of call centers, like actual genuine call centers. And one of the technologies they at least used to use was something called a soundboard, where they would just press buttons that would play scripts, and you could get native language because it was just a recording of a person.
Right.
But kind of combined with something that can understand a conversation, you could multiply how many people you could deal with. So already with soundboards, apparently well-trained or experienced people could handle two or three conversations at once. but like the mind boggles.
Yeah.
But with something like ChatGPT, like, you know, you're trying to build trust. You don't necessarily need to say anything meaningful or convey any particular message. You know, you could have a kind of human overseer, but you could also have multiple people where you're trying to build a social proof. This must be a real person because there's two or three other people also talking to them.
Right. I think there's things there where AI is probably better, because the way that you sort of build trust is by letting the other person speak, saying back what they've said to you, and being genuinely interested in what they're talking about, right? And these are all things that AI is very good at doing. You know, like Eliza from way back in the dawn of time was building these close relationships by simply playing these basic tricks on humans. And so I think, you know, absolutely there's a chance for that. It also reminds me a bit of those guys that try and hack Tinder or these other apps. They'll develop a bot, which will just sort of, it'll swipe on everyone that comes up, and then it will message them, and it will do three iterations, you know, hi, how are you? What are you doing today? And if it gets to like the third question, then it will surface it to the actual end user, because it's now sort of processed and filtered out all of the people who don't go beyond hi. And I'm sort of wondering, like, that's a thing that would be fairly easy to do. You could probably get more than that initial three exchanges. You could have a opening gambit. You can play for a while. And I think one of the things is people look at phishing emails and they think, okay, so like the first email that arrives is going to be like, click on a link. And if I don't click on that link, then I haven't gotten phished, so I'm safe. Whereas when you look at the really good ones, they spend months developing a relationship before they get to the point where they actually get you to do something that benefits them.
Right, yeah.
Right? And I think that, again, is the sort of thing where an AI can manage that relationship for a long period of time.
Yeah.
Just in the, hey, you know, I'm the new regional manager forever. I wanted to touch base. Right? And then you start recognizing, oh, yeah, like that's the guy that I've been talking to off and on for the last 6 months. Oh, now they need help with something. Sure, how can I help you? So that having patience and sort of waiting for things, it can be very difficult for humans to do.
Right. So far, the ones that you've described that seem the most game-changing, like coming up with targeting packages, are also the most, to me, hypothetical ones.
Right.
Whereas the ones that seem the most realistic, like making people more efficient and effective at communicating across different languages, seem the most practical. So the incremental seems more practical than the game-changing.
Right. Yeah, so I think that's sort of the thing. Is like, if you are a really skilled AI developer, you could get a job automating some difficult part of cybercrime for some amount of money, or you could do AI development at a huge company and make a lot more money and not face jail or dealing with criminals and gangsters. And
I was thinking that the thing that, at least for pig butchering, that might be rate limiting is just the number of people who are vulnerable at any one point in time.
Right.
So it's nothing to do with the cybercrime part of the equation.
Right, right.
It's just that, you know, at any one point in time, there's people at a stage in life where they're vulnerable to that kind of scam.
Yeah, yeah. No, I wonder if that's sort of the thing as well, is that maybe the limiting factor to cybercrime is sort of the number of victims you can manage and the number of victims available in total.
Right.
At any one point in time. And you can sort of, any investment that's made in automating victim acquisition is going to run into these hard limits of how many victims can you actually
right.
process and deal with. So I think maybe the system of cybercrime, like these different cybercrime groups, they have their systems of processing, intaking target lists at one end and producing Bitcoin at the other. And I wonder, like, what part of the system can be optimized with AI that will improve the system's efficiency overall?
Right, yeah.
Right. Like, what can you do to actually make that system better? And is that a thing that AI can solve?
Right. Yeah. In a biological term, it would be figuring out what the rate limiting step is. So what's the step that's
right.
that's constricting your flow through? And
I think when
it comes to scams, it's probably either it's just the number of people you can have going at any one time, or it's the mm-hmm. number of people who are susceptible to being scammed.
Right.
I guess there's many different flavors of cybercrime, and so where that might make a difference, I mean, who knows?
Yeah. So I guess that's our big takeaway, is that it sounds scary, but who actually knows?
I think there's a lot of...
Come here for the deep cuts.
I think there's yeah. a lot of things where... new technologies where it's obvious in retrospect. And I think...
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
we're at this the is... point where it's not obvious yet. So I guess so far we think that AI will get us a faster horse, but we don't yet see what the automobile is. Thanks, Greg.
Thanks a lot, Tom.